Please welcome Dean Thompson.
The 405 freeway from Los Angeles International Airport to the San Fernando Valley is a beautiful stretch of highway to make lemonade. And it was sometime in the early 80s I found myself there in my white 63 Rambler Classic sedan. It had fold down front seats, straight six under the hood, steel dashboard. I had just gotten it, so it didn't have really any sound system in it. It just had the stock AM radio that didn't work. And it had no air conditioning. And there I was, crawling along in bumper-to-bumper traffic. So what was I going to do? Well, I got out a pad of paper and a pencil, and I kind of leaned my head out the window. And I started counting and cataloging the number of different kinds of plants I could see growing through the cracks of the pavement and along the center divider, and just kind of did a botanical survey of the 405 freeway. And that kept me entertained until I got to my grandparents' house. And when I got there, I explained to him about the traffic, and my grandfather was like, "Oh, I can't stand traffic. It just irritates me, gets so angry." And then when I told him what I did to pass the time, he was so impressed that I was actually able to turn this negative situation into a positive. And I got to thinking to myself, that's what I've been doing that my whole life. I mean, when you're born with a bilateral cleft lip and a cleft palate, and you spend a lot of time in hospitals dealing with surgeries and needles, which we've talked about in this venue a while back, you learn how to look for the silver linings. And when I would go to school every fall, when I went to school, I knew when I would go into class, there were kids that had never seen me before, and they would see this obvious birth defect, and they would stare and ask questions, and some kids were even nice enough to give me names. And so I was able to just, roll with it, and I became likable and funny. And then when I joined Scouts, Boy Scouts, I have more opportunities to make lemonade. Not that scouting's horrible, scouting's great, okay? But Boy Scouts is designed to push young men past their comfort zone. And when you go past your comfort zone, that's when you grow, and that's when you learn what you're made out of and how to look for make a positive out of a negative. But the example I want to give you tonight is not really a growth sort of thing. It was in Boy Scouts, and it happened at summer camp. And I know there's some people here that have been to summer camp, but Boy Scout summer camp is kind of a unique situation because you've got a valley or an island somewhere, remote area in the wilderness, and you've got hundreds, maybe up to 1,000 boys all there ranging from the ages of 12 to 19 with testosterone flowing through all of them. And they're divided up into various troops and patrols. You could call them tribes and factions. And then you add in the mix of knives and hatchets and bows and arrows and guns and competitions, and the whole thing could easily devolve into a Lord of the Flies situation if you didn't have strong adult leaders. Our troop that we were a member of, we were a very active troop. We did outings almost every month. We'd be biking, cycling, canoeing, hiking, backpacking. Almost every month we'd go out and do something. And the guys in my patrol were also either soccer players or surfers, so we were in very good physical condition, and we prided ourselves on being able to backpack or hike anybody into the ground. And so we were up at this summer camp up in the Sierra called Camp Whitsitt, and it's in the Southern Sierra, and they have this hike there called Sentinel Peak. It's their keystone hike where you go up to the mountain. And it was our turn to hike that peak, and so we got up late. It didn't really matter. We got up. We hiked up there past a bunch of scouts going on off. We bagged that peak, turned around, went back down, passed a bunch of other scouts. And every time we passed these scouts, they're like, "Oh, what's the hurry? You guys are show-offs." And we just didn't regard them. We just got back to the camp, and we got back and we were hot and sweaty and we wanted to take a shower. Now, shower times are organized by various troops and patrols, tribes and factions, and it wasn't our turn to take a shower, but we were hot and sweaty and we wanted to take a shower, so we went and took a shower. Towards the end of our shower, we heard this commotion going on, and it was the boys whose shower time it was coming in, and we were in the shower. They weren't happy about it, so they started calling us names, saying stuff to us. They started messing with our stuff, taking our towels, throwing our towels in the dirt. And we said stuff back to them, finished our showers, but we didn't get mad because that wasn't our policy. Our policy was don't get mad, just get even. So we left the shower, set our stuff down under a tree, and we waited. And we waited for them to get undressed and get in the shower and get the water going. In the meantime, what we did is we went around and we gathered pine cones. And there's about five of us, and we gathered as many pine cones as we could handle, holding them in our shirts. And these are big Jeffrey and sugar pine cones. And then we surrounded the shower building. Now, the shower building is a large wooden structure with walls that go up about 8 feet. And then in the top of the walls, there's about a 4 to 5 foot gap before you get to the rafters and the roof, a gap all the way around. And so we surrounded the shower, and then on cue, we had pine cones in our hand. We all started shouting, "Incoming! Incoming!" And we started heaving pine cones up through that gap into the open shower below. And we're just heaving them, whew, 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 one after another. And the bombardment lasted for about 10 seconds, but easily over 50 pine cones raining down on the wood. The curses, the screams, the cries, the yells that were coming from that, it was perfect. It's exactly what we wanted, right? You could hear the pine cones ricocheting off the wall and the rafters and the floor. We finished the shelling, and then we ran over, grabbed our stuff, and hustled on back to our camp. And we were pretty pleased with ourselves. About 40 minutes later, we look over at our camp and we see our adult chaperones, one of which was my father, talking to another adult. And we see an official Camp Whitsitt truck there. And they're talking, and then they look over at us and they motion for us to come on over. And so we come over and they confront us with this shower situation. And at this point in our lives, my buddies and I, we have come to the realization that if you're ever caught doing something, and you're caught, honestly caught, don't deny it. Because if you deny it and you try and get out of it, it only makes the adults angrier and your punishment is much more swift and severe. Instead, which we did, is you own it. And we said, yep, we did it. We did it. They messed with our stuff, which we realized was not an excuse. And we should have had a cooler heads when we were doing this. And it was really poor judgment on our part. And being older scouts, we should be better role models for the younger scouts. And if ever confronted with a situation like this again, we understand that it would be much more prudent not to confront them, and or something along those lines, right? And the adults are just looking at us going, okay, they know the game. And they said, well, thank you for your apology, but the shower is a mess and it needs to be cleaned. And we said, okay, we'll be happy to clean it. We will clean it. We got a little bit of time later on in the day. We can clean it. They said, no, you're cleaning it now, which was unfortunate because this was our free time. And we were planning on doing archery. No archery for us. We had to clean the shower. So they gave us buckets, brooms, dustpans, sponges, and other implements of cleaning, right? So we go into the shower and we walk in the shower. And it's pretty amazing in there. The amount of pine cone debris and pine cones scattered around there was tremendous. And it was pretty evident that the pine cones were very brittle. And when they hit the rafters, the walls, or the floor, they just shattered. And we can only imagine what it must have been like for those boys, naked and afraid, under the water, cowering down as they're getting hit by pine cone shrapnel, right? And it kind of made us kind of proud, but then it also, we kind of also started talking. We realized that we got off pretty lucky because nobody got hurt. And now we had this giant mess we had to clean. So we're cleaning up the debris and we're scooping it up and put it in trash cans. Then we noticed a lot of it went between the wooden slats of these wooden grates that are on the floor. And we lifted those up and there's stuff underneath there. And there's a lot of this stuff in there. And it's like hair and scum. And we're like, oh, there's scum underneath. There's scum. And that became our watchword, scum. And we took a bucket of water, hit the water. Scum, there's scum over here too. Hit it with water over there. And now we're like having a water fight. And we're throwing water at each other. It's hot outside. We're in the shade, right? We're having a water fight. We're having fun. And then all of a sudden something clicked. And we realized, you know what? We're going to make this shower clean. This shower is going to be cleaner than it's ever been in its entire life. So now we got a mission. We got buckets and we're throwing water. We're, you know, scrubbing walls, having fun, shouting, scum! We're just throwing, it's just, we got kids up on the rafters, cleaning the rafters. And out of the corner of our eye, we could see the adults, my dad and the other, and they're standing there watching us with this mixture of irritation and amusement. Because here was this punishment, but we're not acting like it's a punishment. We're having fun doing it, right? And we said, we're not ready yet, we're not ready yet. And so they left, and then we told them to come on over and inspect. We stood there at attention, and they came in and inspected it. And we told them, yes, we learned our lesson, and we wouldn't do it again. And if, you know, we cleaned the shower. And years later, my dad would always bring this thing up. I can't believe how you guys took that punishment and turned it into a positive thing. And really, making lemonade isn't that hard. I mean, really, it is. I mean, you need lemons, and you can see we have a lot of lemons here. So if you have a lemon tree, you're going to get lemons, and life is going to give you lemons. The key to making good lemonade is adding just the right amount of sugar. And so if you can find the sweetness in a situation, you're going to be able to make lemonade.